one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean.
Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. That sounds sort of strange coming from an old veteran of the cross. But Paul is going to state his claim to the loyalty of the people. And he said, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. Now, folly is kin to foolishness. And Paul said that, this may sound like a little foolishness, but he said, I want to talk with you. He's writing a letter, see. And if you girls could realize when you come to the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, those were all letters. Those were letters. You see, he'd be off somewhere in jail most of the time, and he'd sit down and write a letter. And he'd send it to the church. Most of the churches, like the church at Philippi and other churches, he'd start it himself. He'd go over there. He said one day, I don't like building another man's foundation. He said, I'd rather just start and pour my own foundation. I think we'd have a lot more healthier churches if preachers would just do that. Just start their own church, you know. And of course, a lot of them are scared to do it. But if we just go out and knock on enough doors and win people to Christ and let the Lord add to the church daily such as should be saved. So he said, and indeed bear with me, verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Now, that's all right. Godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, that's real ambition on his part, isn't it? He said, I have come along and I have espoused you to one husband or got you engaged. Now, he came down, you know, to the people and he said, say. I mean, it's like talking to one of these precious girls, see. I know the finest young man you've ever met in your life. And the average girl would say, really? How old is he? And what does he look like? And where does he live? And I'd like to meet him, see? And so Paul came down, and the thing about it, he worked with a bunch of heathens, see? And he'd tell them about the finest fella in all the world, and that is Jesus, see? And so he got them just really anxious to meet him, and then they'd get engaged to him, because you see, Jesus is going to be the bridegroom, and we're going to be the bride, see? That's in the little song, you know, Sweet Jesus, that we sang. And he's coming back again, and the bride is being prepared, and he's preparing the bride out of people that were not worth getting married to anybody. But, I mean, we were lost, unsaved, undone. And, of course, it's going to be a different wedding, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be an unusual... In the first place, it'll be a wedding in the sky. It'll be the first one they ever had in the sky. Now, the astronauts, they whip up through the sky, but they haven't gotten married up there yet. So we're going to get married in the sky. Do you think about that? That'll be some setting, won't it? I mean, going to meet him, the bridegroom, and I know there's a lot of people that don't believe the Bible and don't believe what I'm talking about, but we're going to have a wedding anyhow. We're not going to let them break up our wedding just because they don't believe. I mean, that's their hard luck because they don't want to go along, and if they're not saved, they can't go. And so Jesus is going to come. Now then, the wedding is going to be different from the weddings we have down here. Down here, you know who gets all of the recognition, don't you? That's right. It's the bride. It's the way it was when I got married. I mean, I just showed up in order to complete the wedding. But I guarantee you, they didn't snap no picture of me. Of course, I realized they didn't have any particular need for it. But I mean, I just sat back and waited all day long. And boy, I tell you, I mean, it was just Ed and Marie Brady. I mean, that's all it was to it all day long. And I mean, the photographers came and everybody got excited. And there I was, you see. I mean, August the 10th. And I just kind of waiting. And the newspaper men came in and they wanted a conference with her. They didn't say nothing to me. They didn't even say where I was from or who I was, hardly. I think they stuck it down and said, yeah, Lester Roloff is getting married to her. But that's about it. But brother, this next time I get married, we're going to have a bridegroom that's going to get the glory. And the bride's just going to shine and show up, and I'm going to be a part of that. Amen. And so we're going to have another wedding. And according to the Bible, we're going to have a honeymoon. That's right. And there's going to be a heap of honey in that moon, dude. You know it? That's right. Oh, I tell you, it's just going to be a wonderful time. Wonderful time. You know how long our honeymoon's going to last? 1,000 years. Boy, I tell you, that'll sure beat what I had when I got married. Man, I just barely had enough gas to get back to my mom and daddy. Yes, sir. But we're going to have a honeymoon. Now, during the honeymoon, when we get married, we're going to travel. Just think about it. See the whole world. I really believe that. I believe when Jesus comes back and gets his children and we get to be with him, I believe he's going to say, now, would you like to see what I made? You didn't say anything. Would you like to see those stars that you used to lay on your back down there, down the intercoastal canal, look up and look at all those stars? Would you like to go up there where they are? I said, I believe what he said. Why don't you take off up there? Hey, you can be back tomorrow. I mean, just jump from star to star, planet to planet. I mean, I just want to show you. People think, you know, they run around here and they said, have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls? Why, brother, listen, that wouldn't even look as big as that little creek behind our barn compared to what I'm going to see during the millennium. Did you know that? People say, say, have you been to the Holy Land? Why, listen, you wait till Jesus comes back. Think, we've got millions of worlds bigger than the earth, far bigger than the earth, and we'll be just flitting from planet to planet as the Lord wants. Why, we just see it all. You talk about, you wait till we get up there and all these girls get together up there and begin saying, great is the Lord. Huh? Boy, you wait till I put the bass on that. I'm telling you, we'll have some time. I mean, it'll be something. We just look over the whole thing, you see. No sin, no cigarettes, no liquor. Nobody that's unhappy. Everybody smiling, everybody shouting. That's our honeymoon coming up. Boy, it don't be long. It won't be long. Listen, I'll guarantee it won't be but a second or two. You say, what? Well, if 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, how long could it be? Won't be long, just about like that. You know how quick Jesus is going to come? You know, watch that eye right there. Watch it now, right there. It's all over. See there? Did he come quick? That's right. Now, he, in the twinkle of an eye, just twinkle that eye, and that's it. That's how quick he's coming. Oh, listen, he'll come quickly. Now he's going to come secretly, but won't be no secret to us because we'll be ready to meet him. Now, young people and girls, that's exactly what this home is about here, to get people saved. Get them ready. Get them ready. Oh, for the coming. Now, I believe this. I believe the Lord has a lot of things in store for us, but it's going to be wonderful to get to be with him. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a long time, and just ever. Won't ever be anything else. Now then, let's read on. This is marvelous. He said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And I know this old world's full of people, poor old sinners. And a lot of people say, Brother Olof, I guess I won't get to go. Because I'm not a chaste virgin, and I've sinned, and I've done wrong, and that's your... Well, see, this is where the miracle comes in. He can take anybody. And we sang a song, didn't we? I know that he can make the vilest sinner clean. Now, you think about that. And you think about being presented to the Father without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You see, Jesus blots out all of our sin and remembers them against us no more, forever. Now, that's the bargain we get in grace and when we come to Christ. I mean, you're not going to go in before him. And the Father said, well, let me see that record. Let me see that record. And Jesus said, you want all that court record? Yeah, I want that juvenile court record, and I want everything down. I want to see the whole thing. I know you got it. Next, I want to see your record. I know you know everything they've ever thought, everything they've ever done, and every mean thing they've ever thought about. I said, now bring them up here. I want to see them. No. He said, the record's been blotted out. He doesn't even keep a record. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we won't have to face that old dirty record, that old ugly record. I tell you, that ought to comfort God's people. That ought to comfort every one of us, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he can present us. Turn to the book of Jude with me just a minute, the little book of Jude. I believe that's the one just before we wind up toward Revelation, isn't it? The book of Jude, let's see what he said. This is a great verse. You say, I'm going to be scared. I know I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be just as nervous as I can be. If I go in before God and he's holy, and here I am, just an old sinner saved by grace, let's read in CPR. The last two verses, Jude 24, 25. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that. No, it won't be fear, it'll be joy. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, verse 3, but I fear. My, what would he be afraid of? What would he be afraid of? He said, but I fear. I'm afraid of something. Fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? Oh, you know, a person can get so afraid that he loses control of his mind, his body. You take many a person has been killed with what they call vertigo. That means that they got scared flying, got in trouble, and they lost all senses. I've been there. My instructor told me, he said a person needs to have a little vertigo every once in a while, to just kind of keep them on their toes. And I thought, oh me, if I have it, I hope it'll be a little. I don't want it to be much, because I've been there. I've had it in pretty large chunks. I mean, you just start flying. Never forget one night, and I hadn't flown in at night. I didn't know you were supposed to even be checked out. I just thought you'd fly in daytime, fly at night. So I was down in the valley. And I just took right off, had the plane loaded with people. They all trusted in me and had confidence in me, you know. And I got off the ground, and I want you to know I'd given 9 planes like that if I'd been on the ground. I lost all sense of balance. That thing, I looked like I was swirling around and turning around, and there I was flying along there. Now, when you have vertigo, this is a little different. When you have vertigo, if you just put your head down, just kind of look down. Of course, I don't know what's going to happen while you're looking down, but I mean, you're just supposed to kind of look down and then look back up. And yet, if you have spiritual vertigo, you never look down, look up. Amen?
Amen.
See, look up. Just always look up. But been a lot of people that were killed because of the fear. Now, Paul said, I'm afraid. I got some fear. And so I think we ought to see what he's afraid of. We'll just see what... He said, I fear, and this may come close to home, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now then, what was he afraid of? He said, I'm afraid that y'all are going to get smart and stuck up and educated and religious and refined and so cultured until you won't get converted. You're going to substitute that for salvation. And there's the danger. He said, I fear that the same old snake, old serpent, that old devil, I'm afraid that he's going to come, and just like he fooled Eve and deceived Eve, he's going to deceive you. You're going to get deceived. Now, that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what happened. Why do we have little Baptist girls come to this home in sin and trouble and confusion? They got deceived by religion. Why do we have other little girls come with their religion? And they're so proud of their religion, but it didn't meet a need they had. I mean, they wound them up in trouble. I wouldn't have a religion. I'd shake every religion off that wouldn't meet my spiritual need. I wouldn't have it. I don't want it. Religion was the thing that Eve had when she got it from the devil. That's the thing Cain had. Cain had religion. And he was very religious, devout. He went to worship. He took something with him. He realized that salvation must have been by somebody else because he didn't try to save himself. But he was disobedient. He did not take a blood offering because he didn't go by faith. He'd gone by faith. He'd have done what God told him to do. And so, young people, I wish I could. I know it's a difficult thing. It's hard. The hardest thing you'll ever do, probably, is to shake loose from some sorry belief that wouldn't save you in the first place. Hadn't saved you. Why do you want to hold on to something that wouldn't save your soul, wouldn't give you peace and joy and power and victory? I mean, it wouldn't have it. Get rid of it and put your trust in Jesus. All right? He said, I'm afraid, I fear, lest by any means, and he'll use every means he can, that old serpent's going to... He beguiled Eve, he'll beguile you. Listen, girls, mothers and dads, this ought to scare us and make us really run to the Lord. If he could deceive anybody that never had sinned, I mean, he never had sinned. Listen, they were so pure and so clean until they didn't even have to wear clothes. There wasn't any sin, there wasn't any lust. And there wasn't anything wrong, and they never had an evil thought, and everything was just perfect. And listen, here's the thing that ought to sober us real good. If the devil could come and deceive a person as fine as Eve, and in that kind of environment, what on earth could he do in a generation as wicked and filthy as this one? Well, that ought to get us down to where we'd say, Lord, if you don't keep me from being deceived, I'll never make it.
Amen.
I've just got to have your opening. I mean, your spiritual discernment. You know, one of the things I hate about dope? It blocks all spiritual discernment and desire. When a person begins... Now, you can find that in the Bible. It's in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, I believe, where he said... over there, he said, you'll drink and forget the law. That's the Word of God. You drink and forget the Word of God. Have you ever, of course, I guess maybe many of you have never been in one of these old liquor stores. Hope you haven't. Hope you never will. You never see a Bible laying in a liquor store. You go to one of these hippie hives, you never find a Bible in there. Mm-mm. You go to one of these old beer joints, one of these old nightclubs, one of these old dance halls, you never find anybody sitting around a table and discussing the Word of God. Go to one of these dances, you never hear them as they sing the old rugged cross. I'll ever be true. Never. It's always that other stuff, isn't it? See? Birds of a feather flock together. And I wouldn't want to be around that. If they're not going to recognize my Christ and believe in Him and love Him and respect, I wouldn't want to be around them. And so I don't understand why, even when our girls leave here, they always go with the dope crowd. Have you noticed that? They never do. It is strange that we've never had a little girl to run away from here that looked up God's people. We've never had one to go knock on some good man of God's door. And he comes and said, "Honey, what do you want?" "Oh, I was just looking for somebody who could teach me about the Word of God. I've been out in Brother Olaf's home, but they're not able to look like to sing and to preach and to teach. And I'm just hungry for the Lord. And I want to be around God's people. That bunch out there is not God's people. And I just want to be around somebody who's clean and upright and pure. And I just thought maybe that y'all would love me if I'd come over." I just never have seen one of them go like that. Have you? I tell you where they go. They always go with the lowest, filthiest, dirtiest, I mean the low-downest people in this town. Crooks, criminals, filthy, ungodly. And they go and just fall into the old hog pen, and there they are. And they come out dirty and filthy and sick and needle holes in their arms and cigarettes and all the filth that goes with. That's where they go every time. We've never had one to go anywhere else. Now then, you know why? They went out from us because they were not of us. They just said, "I'm hungry for my crowd." And girls, I want you to know right now that you'll classify yourself when you leave here. And you'll announce to the world what kind of heart you got in here. And if you got a hog pen heart, and if you got a hog nature, you're going to look up the old hogs. Now, I'll guarantee you'll be laying in the wallow with them. I mean, right down in the old filth of the world. If you don't get your heart changed and you came from a hog pen, you'll go straight back to the hog pen as you could go. Now, I've got sense enough to know that when we bring you girls in here, and we can put a little longer dress on you, and we can take a bunch of that glue off of your face and make you look like a human being. But unless we get you born again on the inside, you'll do just like the old sow. You'll go back to the wallow in the mire when you leave here. I'm not the smartest man on the face of this earth, but what wisdom I've got, God gave it to me. And I've got enough sense about a hog to know. And you've heard me say, you can take the dirtiest hog in Nueces County, and you can take him out of the deepest hog wallow and all the filth, and you can put him in the biggest hotel, bridal suite, if you want to. And you can stick that old hog up there, and you can bathe him 3 times a day. You can tie ribbons around his neck and squirt cologne all over him and put evening in Paris. And you can just doctor him up, and you can file his old toenails, and you can clip his old hair. And I'm going to go a step further, and I've never gone this far. You can feed him carrot juice. I mean, for dinner, and you can feed him orange juice for breakfast, and you can feed him a lovely, clean vegetable salad for supper, and you can do it for 5 years. And you leave that elevator open, and let him come waddling out of there and get on the elevator. You let him go down to the lowest floor and let him get off and the door be open and watch him go. Where are you going? Don't you like all that good stuff? Don't you want to be clean? Where are you going? I'm looking for a dirty place. I want to get around the hogs. That's exactly what you little old silly, sinful, sorry, trifling, low-down, unregenerated girls do when you leave here. Why? You haven't had your little heart changed. You're still wicked, and you've got a hog nature, and you've got to go look for slop. You understand what I'm talking about? That's what makes them go the way they go. They're tired of Heaven's Hotel. And that's what this place is. It's a clean place. They don't like it. Let me tell you something. You girls better face it. Some of you look a little dismal because you just hate to admit that you're going to be classified as a hog. You can swell up all. You don't have to be a hog, but as long as you want to be, you can be. And America is filled with hog pen people. But you don't have to live like that. But I'll say this. The devil will make a bigger effort to get you after you get here than it did before. And I tell you why. He already had you. And he didn't have to worry about you at all. But when you come here, when you get something from the Lord even, and the devil's going to do his best to come and try to capture you and drag you off and disprove your faith in Christ. You see, everybody is trying to catch us, you know. I mean, the world would like to prove that what we're offering is too simple and it won't work. The world is trying to say you've got to have therapy. You've got to have psychiatrists. You've got to have some mental health, and you've got to have this and that, and you've got to have tranquilizers, and you've got to have this and a lot of them. Bible doesn't say that. We believe Christ is all I need.
We're delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, a message from 2 Corinthians. To receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2549. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of $10. We'd like to have today's date, and also the call letters to the radio stations you're now listening to. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507.
One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.